So today, I just want to start by talking about a passionate heart. That's the theme for today. What's it like to have a passionate heart? And that is part of our series, to be just like Jesus. I want to show you a slide of people who have passionate hearts, okay? Here we go. Now, all these things represent what people get passionate about, okay? Now, some of these are really hard to believe, but people are passionate. Should we start at the top? We've got, on our left-hand side, we've got soap carving. I can see none of you are going to get into soap carving, are you? It's not kind of float your boat. The next one along, oh, we'll leave him to the last. The one on the right is extreme ironing. So the idea is that you take your ironing board and your iron and you go to very remote places, like under the water, on top of a mountain, wherever you think is extreme, and you iron, okay? Can I say, when I do ironing, it is extreme. It takes an extremely long time, and in the end, Tracy just says, oh, give me the iron, and does it for me. So that's a good thing to learn, guys. Just pretend you're useless, and your wife... Pretend! Okay, so here down on the bottom, we've obviously this beautiful cow. And I was reading about a place in Kentucky where they have mooing competitions. Okay, you've heard of that? Yeah, Kirsty's, yes. So if you want to, you know, do something really weird and get passionate about, you can get passionate about mooing. Now, the one on the right of, as I'm standing, as you're, yeah, you as well, it says a sickness bag. Okay, there is people, get this, who go on aeroplanes and they pick up the sickness bag and they take it home and they add it to their collection. Yeah, that's exciting. Yes, of course it's empty. So yeah, but the one that really I love is this guy. This guy's called Graham Barker, okay? And in the jars in front of him, he has collected over the years, I think since 1984, he's collected his belly button fluff. Ours is not to ask the question why. Ours is just to admire the man. What dedication to take your belly button flesh, fluff every year, and to place it in jars and to carefully store it. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah? Anybody fancy that? For those watching online, 20 people put their hands up. Is he single? Probably. And will remain so. Okay, so we've looked at some people who've got weird things that they get passionate about. I want to ask you the question this morning. What excites you? Okay. Maybe yesterday you sat down about 5 o'clock, all excited to watch the rugby. Your heart was pounding. You were hoping that England would turn over the Irish. And then, yes, of course, by about 6 o'clock, you'd gone off to make a cup of tea and just given up on it. Maybe it's a bit of sport. Maybe what excites you is your children and your family. And you just love your children so much that you just cannot be away from them, and you love them and adore them. Maybe that gets you excited. Maybe. Ooh. Be interesting, wouldn't it? If coming to church gets you excited. Whether you think to yourself, I'm going to church this morning. I'm going to get there extra early so I can see everyone. Now, I'm being a bit sarcastic, aren't I? But surely worshipping God and being with the people of God should do something to us. And maybe this morning you don't feel excited, but you're here, aren't you? Something has brought you here. I don't know what that feeling is. Maybe it's a sense of duty. Or maybe it's a sense of, I want to know what's going on in that church. But God has brought you here. And I believe this morning that God wants to speak to you about having a passionate heart. And a passionate heart for him. Okay? Because if we just have a look at the next slide, maybe. This is what passion is. And this came from a very big dictionary. Any kind of feeling by which the mind is powerfully affected or moved. A vehement, commanding, or overpowering emotion. Now, maybe you're sat there going, well, I don't feel any of that kind of stuff. I'm an introvert. I'm a quiet person. But actually, it's about the mind. And it doesn't just have to come out with loud things. People, there are loud people in our church, aren't they? Aren't there? Yeah? There's two of them I can see. And but some people get very loud and excited. You know, I'm not like that. But actually, it's about what's going on inside and what's going on up here. And you can be passionate without being, woo, okay? And I think that's what God is looking for, a deep passion within us that feels for him and the things of God, okay? And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at what Jesus got passionate about, because there are three things. Well, there are loads of things, but we're just going to do three this morning. Jesus was passionate about three things I'm going to talk to you about. And I hope as we listen to me that you will go, yeah, I should be passionate about that too. Or maybe as you listen, in your heart you're going, yeah, something is rising because I need to get passionate about that. Because maybe you're not. Maybe you're here today and go, church, oh, do I want to be here? I'd rather be doing something else. Because God wants us to feel passionate about him and the things that he feels passionate about. Okay, so let's talk about what Jesus was passionate about. Number one, here we go. We've got a slide. It says, Jesus was passionate to do God's will. Now, what do I mean by that? If we go right back to the beginning of the life of Jesus, okay, he was born where? See, you thought you'd come to church and just sit and listen to me. Where was he born? Bethlehem. Okay. Good. You're awake. But you see, Jesus had to make a decision before he got to Bethlehem, didn't he? He had to make a decision whether he was going to do the Father's will and actually be born. It's not a decision you had to make, but it was a decision he had to make, because the Bible says that he was with the Father. He was, you know, from the beginning, he was there. But he chose to become a man. And I think it says in Hebrews that he chose to do that. And then we look at the life of Jesus. All through his life, he chose to do the will of the Father. The Father said, do this, and he did it. The Father said, do that, and he did it. He obeyed. And when he was teaching his disciples, he said, you know what? I've come to do my Father's will. Find that in John. Some of you like to have a reference, so I'm going to have to go back to my notes, because I know you like to read the Bible bits when you get home. Let's just get this up, shall we? Okay. So Jesus... Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. That's found in John chapter 4. So he was clearly saying, my desire, my food, the things that kind of feeds my spirit, is to do the will of the Father. Okay, to do what my Father wants. And of course, what we know is that he lived his life going where Father told him. He did this, he did that, until he got to the night before he died. The night before he died, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he started to pray. He started to sweat, blood and tears. And he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And so what he was saying is ultimately, I don't want to die, because none of us do. We want to live. But he was saying to his Father, I don't want to die, but actually I'm here to do your will. And your will is that I am going to the cross. And I submit myself wholeheartedly to the will of the Father. And we know Easter is coming, isn't it? And we're going to be celebrating Easter. We know that when he went to the cross, he went through a horrible death and he rose again. But you see, he chose to do the Father's will. He chose obedience. Okay? Now, I want to talk about this because actually, God has a plan for every single person here. Amen. Okay? Now, his plan, as we can see in Scripture, and I'm just going to read this to you because you need to hear this. Let's get into what God's plan is. His plan is this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to... Woo! Did I hear prosper? Woo! Did we? I see my memory's terrible. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. Then you'll call to me and come to me and pray to me and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with the whole heart. So the words say that actually God has a plan to prosper you. Okay? Who likes a bit of prospering? Prosperity. No, that's the wrong word in Christian conference. That God wants to bless our lives. Okay, let's just use the word bless us. He doesn't want to harm us. He wants our lives to be blessed. He wants us to have hope and a future. Hallelujah. So that's the will, that's the plan of God for your lives. Okay? All you have to do is follow it. Simple. Stuart's not so sure. But actually, God has a good plan for your lives. But sometime we have to make a decision that we are going to follow the plan. Okay? Now, I'm just thinking of situations in my life where I've been involved having to do DIY. And I never follow a plan. And it always goes wrong. And I just want to encourage you, it's a bit like life, isn't it? When we choose to do what God wants, then it kind of works. When we choose to do our own thing, very often it doesn't. And God has a plan and a will for your life. I wonder how you feel about that. Whether you feel, actually, I need to get engaged with this. I need to do what God wants me to do. Or whether you're out there on your own thinking, well, I'm not going to sure I'm going to do what God wants. Because it could be difficult. It could be costly, because it was costly for Jesus, wasn't it? He went to the cross because he followed the Father's plan. But ultimately, God has a plan to bless your lives, and he wants you to follow his will. And he will make his will known to you if you call on him, if you spend time with him. The next thing I want to talk about is a passion to reveal the Father. See, Jesus wanted to show everybody what God was like. That was one of the reasons he came. He says, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And so what Jesus is actually saying is, my plan is to make God known. Okay? He wanted people to know about God. You see, the culture he came into, the religious world he came into, everybody thought God was really scary. You didn't talk about God just in case you blasphemed God and, you know, said something bad and God would destroy you. And sometimes when you read the Old Testament, it's a really scary book because the God of the Old Testament seemed to do things that were very, very scary. I was reading this week that one guy did something on the Sabbath, which is, you know, Saturday or Sunday, whichever one. But God has said, don't work on the Sabbath. He worked on the Sabbath. Moses said to God, what do I do with him? God said, just go out and stone him. And you go, oh, that's a bit scary, isn't it? And you see, the Jewish people, they grew up with this thing that God was big and scary. You don't say anything bad about God. You don't even mention God's name, just in case you blaspheme him. And bolt of lightning, frazzled, gone. But you see, what Jesus turned up, he says, well, this is what God is like. God is Father, okay? Not just Father, but actually Daddy. You can actually say Daddy to him. That's the kind of word he was using. So when Jesus came to reveal the Father, first thing he did loads of teaching, okay? Who likes teaching? No, not many of you. There's one at the back. She is a teacher. But you see, you know, to sit and learn can be hard. But you see, Jesus was an amazing teacher. People just sat there for hours and hours and hours, listening to him as he taught with stories and other truths. And so he came and he taught the people. And in the book of Mark, he says, you know, I've just got to go everywhere because I need to teach about the Father. So he taught about the Father. The other thing he did was that he did his miracles. Why did he do miracles? Why did he do miracles? Nobody's answered. Not even Stuart. Why did he do miracles, Stu? Stuart just said to reveal the Father. Yes, he did. He came to show, firstly, that God is an amazingly powerful person. Okay? We're doing some stuff called Theology on Tap. I would recommend it. I'm teaching the next one, and I was listening to stuff, and it said that God is everywhere. He is omnipresent, okay? Get that? Now, the other thing I learned the other day is there are billions and billions of, what do I call them? Stars, planets, galaxies. And if God is everywhere, that means God is in all those places. That makes God pretty big. Yeah? And so what Jesus wanted to do, he wanted to turn up and say, this is what the Father's like. So he wanted to show, firstly, that God was really powerful, that God could raise the dead, that God could feed thousands of people with just a few loaves and fishes, that God could walk on water, that God could heal the sick. He could make the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see. He could do all this stuff. And he was saying, this is how great God is. But the other thing he wanted to show was that God was a God of love. So when Jesus was around, walked the earth, he went and touched the leper and healed him. Now, actually, that was just an amazing thing to do. Because every one of us, if somebody with leprosy came into this room and said, well, now I want you to touch this man, you'd all go, well, he doesn't have a nose. And his ears are rotten. And he's got sores on his face and pus is coming out of it. You want me to touch him? You must be joking. And people just backed off. But Jesus comes along and says, come here, I'm going to touch you, I'm going to heal you. Why? Because God is powerful and God is loving. So that's what Jesus revealed to the people of the time. So, you're a Christian, okay? That's what you say. I'm a Christian, okay? You walk around, people know you're a Christian. What does your life reveal about the Father? What do you show as a Christian about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Are you different? Do people say, yeah, that's Stuart, he's a bit different, isn't he? But in a good way. See, God wants us to reveal what he's like through our lives. And that's why I really enjoyed getting involved in Community Food Link the other day. Because you're actually giving something to people and blessing them. You see, and that's what God wants us to do with our lives. He wants to show what he is like. Now, sometimes we don't quite get it right. But it should be our goal and our desire and a passion that people know God through our lives. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one. A passion to build the church. Oh, dear church. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes it's a disaster, isn't it? I don't mean this church, of course. And I mean, the church kind of generally doesn't seem to get on, doesn't seem to make any clear messages. And yet, guess what? Church was God's idea. Yeah? That's what he wanted. He wanted to build a church that would show the love of Christ to be the body of Christ going forward. And so Jesus had a passion for the church. And he said to his disciples, and I tell you that you are Peter on this rock, I will build my church. So definitive, the church is never going to end because God has promised that he's going to build the church. Nothing is going to stop the church. Okay? Even when people are persecuted, the church may go underground. People cannot destroy the church. Because Jesus promised that he would build his church and nothing is going to stop it. And you can see how Jesus wanted to build his church. One thing he did, he gathered his disciples around them and he taught them and he taught them and he taught them. And even when they were really dumb, he continued to teach them things. The other thing he did, he said to you guys, okay, what I want you to do is you 12, and I think it's 70 as well. He says, I want you to go out. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cast out demons. I want you to do miracles, which they did. And in a sense, he was preparing them to become the church. And then lastly, what Jesus did, he said to them, look, when I go to heaven, which I'm going to do, I will send the Holy Spirit on you. You will be the church. You will be my body. You go out and do this stuff. And so he was passionate about his disciples who became apostles who then went and built the church. And we see in the book of Acts, the church got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now today, I think I heard it's 2.something billion people. That's amazing, isn't it? Jesus wanders around 2,000 years ago, and here we have today an organization that is probably one-third of the planet in terms of people's belief. What Jesus said, I will build my church, has come true, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah? So, that's what Jesus was passionate about, passionate to spend time with these people, to teach them, to encourage them to go out and do stuff, give them the Holy Spirit, and start the church. Yay! And that has now been passed down to us. So as Christians, God has called us to be the church and to build his church. And none of us are excluded. Whatever your name, whatever your age, if you are a Christian today, part of your role is to build his church. Now, the question is, how are you doing that? Well, you're here, aren't you? And you are going to interact with other Christians. We would call that fellowship. And by fellowship, we should encourage one another. We should be speaking into each other's lives and trying to bless one another. And it says in Hebrews, we are to spur one another on. We're to shove each other along, give them a push, and encourage one another. We're here because we want to worship God. But hopefully, we're here because we want to worship God. But also we want to share with others what God has done in our lives. I've talked about this before. I love the church. I think it's great. This one. But I also love the church in the town. At the moment, I'm chairing one church, Basingstoke, because I believe that when Christians come together, amazing things happen. And I would encourage you today, and this is my last difficult question for you, is how are you building God's church? What are you doing? What is your role? I listened to a couple of podcasts recently, and people have talked about how in church we have consumers. And people will come just because they want something, but they're not prepared to give. But they also talk about, and I'm just trying to think what the word is. I've just come to mind. The word I'm looking for is contributors. Holy Spirit's at work. Consumers or contributors? Do we just take? Do we take or do we give? And Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so I just want to challenge you this morning. How are you involved in the work of God by building the church? And does it stir in your heart something? Does it stir your heart when you look around, you see people here Lots of people. And does it stir your heart when you see the children go out? You're going, there's loads of them today. Amen. Does it stir your heart when you hear about people coming to God, knowing God? Because that's all part of building the church. And we don't do it for our glory. We don't do it so that Stuart looks good, or I look good, or the elders look good, or whoever looks good. We do it because it's what God wants us to do. So how are you building? And does it stir a passion within you? One more thing I'm going to say, and then we're going to have a couple of songs to worship. There's a guy called Paul in the New Testament. Who's heard of Paul? Okay, if you haven't heard of him, come and talk to me afterwards. So this guy, Paul, he was very, very passionate about Jesus. Okay, so much so that he went around Europe and kind of Asia Minor, and he ended up in trouble so many times. Okay? He got shipwrecked, and you can read in the New Testament how many times he got shipwrecked, how many times he got flogged and beaten, how many times he got people were stoning him. I nearly said stoned, but that gets got wrong connotation. How many times he got people stoned him. And he spent his life talking about Jesus. He started off being a persecutor. He then became a Christian, got a fantastic conversion, and then spent his life just going around telling people about Jesus. And he got him in so much trouble. And he got him to the point where he ended up in prison in Rome. Okay? Prison in Rome, chained. And he writes to the Philippians these words. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection, participate in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. He says, actually, I just want to know Jesus. And when we talk about being passionate for the church, to reveal the will of God, to do the will of God and to reveal the Father, what is at the heart of it is that we are passionate about our relationship with Christ. Paul was in prison facing death, but he could say, you know, if I live this life again, I would do the same thing. I would go through all that I've gone through to know Jesus. And I was going to ask you two questions as I finish, and maybe these are hard questions too. Firstly, do you know Christ? Do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Could you call yourself a Christian? Because today you can become a Christian. You can give your life to God today. So here I am, God. I want you to take my life and make it into something fantastic. Because God has good plans for you to prosper you. Yeah? And the second thing, though, maybe you are a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian 64 years, looking at some of you. And maybe you could say, I've been a Christian 10 years or whatever. Do you have a passion for Jesus? Or are you just going through the motions? You've known, you know, being a Christian, I believe all this stuff, but deep down you don't have a passion for Christ. Because that's what will drive you on when you know Christ. He will change your life. He'll give you a new heart and a new desire to do what he wants. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask the team to come up. We're going to pray together. My mind, three words come to my mind, and these are words where we pray when we lead people to come to know God. They're the words sorry, thank you, and please. And maybe this morning we can pray those over ourselves. First of all, Lord, we say we're sorry. We're sorry we're not what we could be or should be. We're sorry for the times that we fail you. times we choose to do what is not right. I'm sorry that so often we don't live up to the words and promises we've made. And we ask for your forgiveness today, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are such an amazing person. That you walk this earth, you had a passion for those who are lost. You had a passion to do the Father's will. You had a passion to build up your disciples and create the church. And we thank you that you have never, ever let us go. Even when we've walked away from you, you've never let us go. And we thank you that you are ready and wanting to forgive us and to fill us with your Spirit. We pray today that you would, yeah, Lord, you would please come, and by your Holy Spirit, you would change us. We pray that you would come and create in us a passion for you and for your name. You would set a fire within our hearts that burns and it drives us on to share you with others, to show the Father's love to others, to do your will, and to build your church. Holy Spirit, we just pray now that you would fill us afresh. Make us into the men and women that you want us to be. We pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.